Please do not hurt me. Hey-yo. Hey-yo, hey-yo, hey-yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey-hey-yo. Hey-yo, hey-yo, hey-yo. And all living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey-hey-yo. Hey-yo, hey-yo, hey-yo. We are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another. Anila nijon le go shabot ya, nijon le go shabot ya. Hey, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kiddishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
We always give thanks to the earth itself and always try to walk with respect, because if we don't realize that all of the earth has power and energy, then we might not be able to receive whatever that particular place has for us. And all of that, you know, is part of what people commonly refer to as the circle, and we're all a part of it.
Great Spirit of God, I want to thank you again for this wonderful day, the many things you bless us with, and also your teachings. In this world, you gave your prophets to teach, all your prophets to teach about these four things: love, respect, and faith, and unity. These are your teachings. You gave an order to be taught all over the world. And we thank you for those teachings, where we can observe them and believe in them and preach them. Shema Duk, Nadashko Migo, Nanokumani Pemina Ojan Knagego. Where the Shark gives you Kunamua, Nanandok, Nanandok, Kunamoganak. Where, Chikunamake, what? You wait, Shawendi win, Shawendi win. The Margandum win. Chikuminoa, you wait, they bought them win, they bought them win. Where with the Nukimitan, with the Nukimitan. May well, son, may well, no Guminoa, and I'll come going. May go ask, may I go? How?
Yeah.
Akwe, greetings and hello everyone. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain on Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. The song we just heard by Oneida singer-songwriter Joanne Shenandoah was entitled Messenger. I chose this song as a tribute to this program's voice, traditional Haudenosaunee spokesperson, Chief Orin Lyons of the Onondaga Nation. Chief Lyons' voice for Mother Earth, the well-being of all life, and defense of indigenous peoples worldwide has been a message for planetary peace and justice for many, many years. In this edition of Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, we share Chief Lyons' presentation to the 4th World Wilderness Congress, which was held in Estes Park, Colorado. We thank Sounds True for recording his speech. Chief Orin Lyons is internationally respected. There are many tributes one could speak about Chief Lyons. The World Wilderness Congress moderator's introduction you will hear is a nice briefing. I would like to mention that I am very honored to know Orin Lyons. He is one of my heroes from whom I learned much from. As example, I was honored to be with Chief Lyons when we both spoke together at Yale Law School at a conference entitled Earth Rights and Responsibilities, Human Rights and Environmental Protection, co-sponsored by American Association for the Advancement of Science. I know Chief Lyons from my work in environmental education and of my reporting coverage of the years of international Native rights forums in which Chief Lyons has been involved in. Wolf Mountain Radio honors Chief Lyons, a fine traditional spokesperson and messenger for the Haudenosaunee, the Confederacy predicated on the great law, Tree of Peace.
And now it is my privilege to introduce Chief Orin Lyons. Orin is my friend, in the very best sense of that word. He's also one of the most remarkable people I have known in a lifetime among remarkable people. He personifies that which is best in his people. Most importantly, a spirituality which is the heritage of centuries of living on this continent. He is Onondaga. The Onondagas are members of the Six Nations, or Iroquois Confederacy, which are non-Indian terms. Their name is Haudenosaunee. He is one of 50 chiefs of the Confederacy, representing the Turtle Clan, but he is a member of the Wolf Clan. While each nation has its own council, all joint council meetings are held in the Longhouse at Onondaga, which is in upstate New York. Those meetings have been held there since the foundation of the Confederacy, perhaps 1,000 years ago. Chief Lyons is Professor of American Studies at the State University of New York at Buffalo. He is also an artist. He was an All-American lacrosse goalie and is now in charge of a team that is in international competition. He is publisher of a quarterly magazine, Daybreak. In recent years, a group of Native American people has emerged who are capable of the double vision necessary for perceptive understanding of their own cultures and that of larger societies. It has been said that this dual perception, when it exists in depth, is rarely attained by people of any culture, and that those who possess it are uniquely qualified to meet the intercultural challenges of our time. In my opinion, Chief Lyons is prototypical of this group. Chief Lyons is highly regarded within both the Iroquois Nation and in the national political community for his work with conservation and constitutional issues. Chief Lyons.
Thank you for being well, for being here. Greetings to the conveners of the 4th World Wilderness Congress. Greetings to the esteemed delegates to this Congress. Greetings to the traditional elders, Magubu Natumbila from Zululand, South Africa, to my traditional Native American elders and friends from North America, to the young woman who spoke so well, and greetings to the assembled here in common cause to preserve and conserve the natural world for future generations. Greetings from the traditional elder circle, the chiefs, clan mothers, faith keepers, men, women, and children, even those that are on the cradle board. We send greetings to you. My relations, we have been asked for our perspective on the theme of this conference, the worldwide conservation of wilderness. I'll do my best to do this. I'm sure but there will be many things left unsaid and not presented. I apologize for this and admit my ignorance of the other cultures and wisdoms of the indigenous nations throughout this world. One thing that I have been finding out is that among the indigenous nations throughout the world, we do understand the natural law and have fashioned our societies and nations to support and adhere to this great spiritual law. I've often been asked to speak on behalf of Native peoples in North America because I'm educated in my brother's culture and society. I understand his language better than I understand my own. Because of that, I am able to communicate with you our collective thoughts, and I've been instructed on what to say, and it stays with me. It's important for you to understand that our societies often choose speakers to convey the thoughts of the people. The words I speak may be the collective position of the people of Onondaga Nation, the Onondaga Council of Chiefs, the Grand Council of Chiefs of the Haudenosaunee, or the traditional Elder Circle of North America, the Good Minds. It is not my thoughts nor my wisdom that you're hearing, but the collective thoughts and wisdoms of the indigenous people who have always been here in these lands from time immemorial. Their knowledge is profound and comes from living in one place for untold generations. It comes from watching the sun rise in the east and set in the west from the same place over great sections of time. We are familiar with the lands, rivers, and great seas that surround us as we are familiar with the face of our own mothers. And indeed, we call the earth Itinoha, our mother. My relations, so then let us begin. We will start with the word wilderness, derived from the word wild. For us, there is no word for wild. It is not in our vocabulary. The closest we come to is free. So then we speak of freedom in the natural order of things, with the inherent rules and obligations of freedom, respect and recognition of the sovereignty of the individuals, whether they be human beings or the animal nations, or the living forests. For us, our lands do not become wild until our brothers came across the sea and arrived on our shores. And then our lands became wild and untamed and even named the Wild West. Previous to that, this continent we call the Great Turtle Island was a land of peace and plenty. So do not perceive our habitat as wild, but as a place of great security, a peace full of life. My relations, listen to what we have to say. Our grandfathers spoke of the crystal clear waters of the springs, streams, rivers, and lakes, and the great inland seas. They spoke of the fresh, pure water, the first law of life, water. They spoke of ancient trees, grandfathers of another age, trees so huge it took six men to circle their trunk. They spoke of forests so vast, leaves so thick that sunlight barely found its way to the forest floor, and squirrels could travel from the great eastern sea to the mighty Mississippi River and never touch the ground. They spoke of flowers and medicine that grew in profusion, along with the fruits and nuts and berries that fed not only the human families but also the animal nations that abounded and prospered in these vast lands. They spoke of the passenger pigeons, so plentiful that their roosting places were stripped of limbs, the combined weight of the birds breaking the limbs. So plentiful that they darkened the sky for hours as they migrated north and south. They spoke of the vast herds of game, deer, elk, and massive herds of buffalo that roamed the entire continent, powerful and endless. But they did end, and so we received our first lesson. My relations, listen to me as we continue. The lesson we learned was that man wanted to dominate, and what he couldn't dominate, he destroyed. He was capable of destroying life, the natural world life and his own. Our people were so closely aligned with the natural world that we suffered the same fate. It taught us that mankind could be motivated to exploit the natural resources, the environments that these resources provided, to the point of total depletion and extinction of the animal and fish life. It illustrated to us that there were people who were ignorant of the natural law, or who chose to deliberately ignore it. It caused our people to gather together in alarm and hold to our bosoms the principles of the great natural law and to protect our ceremonies that celebrated these principles and ensured the existence of the generations to come. My relations, the natural law, as we understand it, is the ultimate authority upon these lands and waters. It is the prevailing law of life and the order of life upon this earth we call our mother. It is the law the Creator put here, set down here deliberately, firmly, and with great finality to govern all the life in this creation. This is the way we understand it. The great Creator planted life upon the earth. He planted all the nations of life, from the grasses to the trees, from the insects to the elephants, from the tiniest life in the waters to the great whales in the seas. And he planted the families of mankind in the four great sacred colors of black, white, red, and yellow. He gave instructions to these great nations of life, from the grasses to the whales. And they continue to follow these original instructions up to this very moment, to the best of their abilities. They carry on their duties. They live in a state of grace. They do no wrong. For us, the human beings, he gave additional responsibilities. He gave us hands to work with. He gave us intellect and the power of reason. He gave us options to choose our path, to do right or to do wrong. He gave us the foreknowledge of death, and he gave us the insight to life after death. These are responsibilities more than gifts, and he gave each of us a mission in this life that is ours alone. And these are responsibilities to be cherished and to be shared for the benefit of all life. My relations, this is what we believe. Since you ask us, we shall continue. We are sharing with you so that you may understand us better. These are our cosmologies. Your stories may be different, but we believe that we all received the same instructions in the beginning. The natural law is a spiritual law. Its powers are both light and dark. We are blessed and we prosper if we live by the law, and it is dark, terrible, and merciless if we transgress. There is no discussion with this law. There is only understanding and compliance. Its tenets are simple. A respect for all life is equal. Thanksgiving ceremonies for the special forces of nature. A thanksgiving ceremony for the thundering grandfathers who watered the earth and the people, who freshened the springs, streams, lakes, and rivers. A thanksgiving ceremony for the four winds who bring the seasons and sow the seeds of life. A thanksgiving ceremony for the corn, beans, and squash that sustains our lives and gives us strength in our bodies. Thanksgiving ceremony to our grandmother, the moon, who raises and lowers the tides of the great seas, who gives us light at night, and who marks the cycles of the female life and the cycles of all of the seasons. A thanksgiving ceremony for our mighty uncle, the sun, who unites with our mother, the earth, to bring forth life in all seasons, who brings us light each day as we wait in the morning to see if there will be another day. A thanksgiving to the stars who give us directions at night in their infinite wisdom, most of which we have forgotten. We give thanks for their beauty and the dew that they bring at night. A thanksgiving to those spiritual beings assigned to help the human beings carry out their duties. And a thanksgiving ceremony to the great Creator, the Master of Life, for the creation and all that we have been given to enjoy and to protect, so that the seventh generation from this day, our children, will enjoy the same things that we have now. Listen for the howl of our spiritual brother, the wolf. For how it goes with him, it goes with the natural world. My relations, so now we should continue. So we have gathered here from the four directions of the earth to report on how it is, where we come from. And the news is heavy, and there seems to be a determined effort to destroy life on this planet. How did this come about? And what are some of the problems facing us and the natural world? We as consumers should know, but we don't. And more to the point, even if we did know these connections and understand them, it's very questionable that we would give up the convenience of what we have today. What is the relationship between a fast food hamburger served to us in a styrofoam container and the ozone layer that my sister talked about? This layer that protects us from fierce ultraviolet rays that can kill. What is the relationship between the same hamburger and rainforest in Central South America, as I've heard today? And out here are many experts who can expound on all of the details of these major events. The discussion then revolves around the values of those societies responsible for the attitudes of its people. What are these societies teaching their children Rainforests are cut down for timber, cleared lands for farming and ranching. Ranching lands are ceded for cattle grazing, cash crop from the local people who do not eat the meat, and it's often shipped north to become the hamburgers that we talked about. The people gave up subsistence farming for wages, and the land's use is changed for cheap labor on this end and more profit on the other. At the same time, the manufacture of styrofoam releases chemicals into the air that affects the ozone layer, this thin, life-saving protection of life on this earth. The rainforests are the lungs of the world. Trees recycle carbon monoxide back into oxygen, clean air that all life breathes in common, thus continuing the life-giving elements and maintaining the constant atmospheres and temperatures around the earth. If we continue to cut these trees at the present rate, we will have cleared a space as large as India within 30 years. The natural law is simple in this case. We will suffer in exact ratio to our transgressions, and the damage done may be permanent to life as we know it today. My relations, we shall continue. The scenario is the same in Central and South America. First, the timber companies come to clear the great forests, and lands are used for cash crops. These cash crops need help to grow because the cleared lands are fragile, so fertilizers are introduced, and soon the cash crops grow, and insects invade, and insecticides are introduced. These chemicals cost money, and soon the farmer is paying more for chemicals than his cash crop can provide, and he finds himself working for the chemical companies, and soon he gives up and abandons the lands, and they turn into dust because the trees are gone, and the timber companies march on to other sections of the virgin forest to begin again this cycle. This process is called progress and sometimes economic development. The natural law is clear in this case. If you destroy the process of the life cycles of the rainforest that affects the climates around the world, then you will affect life as we know it. The balance is delicate. The Mayans farmed these lands for untold centuries by working with this balance. They prospered. They are called people of the corn, and they lived in the jungles of these huge rainforests in harmony. They lived with the law in respect and understanding, and so they prospered. There are great dams being built in these same areas, and they have caused the rivers to cease their annual overflows to bring silt and fertility to the lands that they have overflowed. These lands lose their fertility and life suffers. We understand that the World Bank, most often financially supporting these projects, is now rethinking its policies, and I, for one, am grateful. The natural law is clear in this case. Damage done quickly takes a long time to repair or renew. Thus, we may cut a tree with a chainsaw in 10 minutes, but it will take hundreds of years for that tree to grow back. So who suffers? Our children. We are profiting at their expense. We are deliberately changing life in the future, and we must question our motivations. The great seas are the same as the earth. Man has lived off the abundance of the seas from time immemorial. Its great resources have sustained life, and songs of joy and contentment have lifted our hearts up to this time. The energy it produces has galvanized civilizations and cultures throughout the world. But we, even now, have endangered our lives by imprudent exploitation without regard to the laws of nature. And again, we'll suffer the consequences. My relations, we will continue. You've asked us what we think, and so we will continue. The herring is gone from the North Sea. It's gone from the diet of the people, the result of overfishing. And how did this happen? It happened because we either did not understand the natural law or we deliberately chose to ignore it. We could say that technology caused the demise of the great schools of herring. But technology is a tool. Technology doesn't think, doesn't ponder, doesn't reason. That is the province of mankind. So we must agree that the destruction of the herring was a conscious decision of mankind. What then is the motivation? The answer, simple: jobs and profit. Profit at our expense, for we are all deprived, including the fish life that lived on these great schools of herring. Technology unleashed our greed. There were many nations involved in this great kill. They fished in competition and rivalry. They developed fishing nets that allowed larger and larger catches, and the great seine nets were the final blow to the herring, coupled with the giant trawlers now prowling the seas. They were able to catch in one day what took previously a month of fishing. So it's not technology that is to blame. It's the attitude of the fishermen. The results are the same. We have lost a great resource, and it is the law that we suffer. Brothers, there are many more examples of mankind's folly, and I use the word man advisedly, because Western thinking as we see it has exploited the women as well. They have excluded them from decision-making, and this and thus flawed the partnership that is the natural law. Male and female is fundamental to life, partners in work that must be done. By excluding the female, mankind has again denied a resource of compassion and understanding that balances the competitive nature of the males. We as men should not fear our mates. We should listen to their counsel. They may be the last reservoir of life. They are just now beginning to fight for life. Mankind should stop and listen to their song. As we plunge ahead to build empires and race for supremacy, we should stop and listen to their song for life. For without the female, there is no life. My relations, we come to the close of this short discussion. Do not take offense as we present the examples of what we consider flawed thinking, because the examples abound. Acid rain has already killed half the forests of Germany. Acid rain is killing life in the rivers, streams, and lakes of northeastern America. It's killing the chief of the trees, the great maple, from the top down, as our prophecies told. Great famines are sweeping this earth, particularly in Africa, where the natural law is exacting the price of transgressions, and life suffers without relief. There is no mercy in the natural law. Water is contaminated at the expense of our children, and toxic waste dumps are time bombs of death as they slowly work their ways into the freshwater veins of our lands. The Indian nations of North America have been particular victims of uranium mining, and toxic piles of waste tailings have contaminated the people, aborting life and pregnant mothers and causing defects upon our children who are born in those areas. How can we meet here and discuss the economic problems of wilderness and life without talking about the monster most responsible for the problems of the earth today, and that is the gigantic military complexes of the two most powerful nation states in the world? Soldiers outnumber teachers and doctors by a wide margin, and row upon row of deadly bombs and weapons and aircraft wait for the moment of global conflict. It is hypocritical for countries to profess the cause of peace when their economic base is on the sale of military hardware. Something is wrong when arms to developing nations outnumber economic aid 3-1. We are seeing our prophecies come to be one by one. Our gardens in the Mohawk Nation territories are stunted and refuse to grow from this cloud of toxic waste that daily rains down upon us. And we're told that this was going to happen. In our prophecies, they said there would be clouds that darken the sky and nothing would grow. And so we're beginning to see it. 90 years ago, there were 13 cities with a population of over 1 million. Today, there are 200 cities with a population of over 1 million. Mexico City alone has 18 million people. And we know the problems of that great city. And ironically, this great city is built upon the old ancient Aztec city. What should we do? What can we do? For one, we should respect those indigenous nations who carry on their ceremonies and still follow the ancient laws of nature with their songs and ceremonies. Now, we were told that as long as these ceremonies are carried out, that life will continue. And so to this day, we do our best to continue. We cannot give up. We must follow the spiritual law set down for us so long ago. We are not defeated if we do not allow ourselves to be manipulated like yo-yos from cosmetic politicians whose interests are not for the natural world. I heard today that economic growth is a necessity and conservation is a consideration of importance. We disagree. Conservation is life, and economic growth is a matter of interpretation. So, my friends and colleagues, here we are at this point in history with a task that we cannot leave to our children, with a choice that takes courage and fortitude and a will inspired by the understanding of the great spiritual law of our Mother the Earth. Take heed to the words of our grandfathers who instructed us to take care how you place your moccasins upon the earth. Step with great care, they said, for the faces of the future generations are looking up from the earth, waiting their turn for life. And so, finally, the choice is ours. Adhere to the natural law or perish.
You are listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kitichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kitichi's Kinonwatakusin Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or If you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum, to contact Yat Kedichi Native Center, write to Yat Kedichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat Kedichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho Kinawatakusin to all of our relations.
So Chief Bigfoot, he raised the waters, took us to a place called the and they surrounded us with cannon. Can't you see? Well, the old people were scared. They felt sad. Well, this was the 7th Cavalry, yellow-haired men. Was it revenge for Custer or the Ghost Dance? If so, it'd be so sad. Well, they took all our weapons, all the weapons that we had. Then I heard a shot ring out, and the bullets came down like hailstones from the sky. And everywhere I turned, I saw my people die. Then I heard all my help say, you gotta keep running. Saw Chief Bigfoot as he lay in the snow dead. And a white flag of truth, my friend, wave over his head. Although my mother was bleeding from her side, she held my hand tightly and my mother cried. The Great Spirit, he sent down a white blanket of snow to cover all his dead children who were murdered down below. Well, I heard the cavalry celebrating here, and I guess they gave their cheers. While in a bitter cold, my people try to dry their tears. Well, a few days later, they gathered all frozen bodies and wagons, buried them in one massive grave. About 267 men, women, and children, old people who died so innocently but brave. Oh, yes. That's always been a nightmare to me. Well, you see, I was a little boy at wounded knee. And that's why I keep running through the snow. There is from the cowboy's gun.
Music from Lakota singer-songwriter Buddy Redbow off his classic cassette tape entitled Journey to the Spirit World. That particular song honored the victims of the 1890 Lakota Wounded Knee Massacre by the U.S. 7th Cavalry. The infamous cavalry soldiers at 1890 Wounded Knee Massacre all received the Congressional Medal of Honor. And we started off our music set with a contemporary Native American rock band song from Tom B's XIT band entitled Color Nature Gone, a fine commentary on the state of our Mother Earth, the destruction of the environment. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Native Radio. I hope you really heard the remarks of Wolf Clan Onondaga Nation spokesperson Chief Orin Lyons, a traditional faith keeper of the Haudenosaunee. And also, dear friends, I want to let our listeners know that I really do appreciate all your letters and emails with your thoughts, comments, and suggestions. If you want to send me an email, you can do so by writing yatkitishe@earthlink.net. Once again, that's yatkitishe@earthlink.net. And of course, as we mentioned earlier, you can always write to me by mail at Yatkitishe Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. We're going to conclude today's broadcast with the very fine song from American Indian Movement co-founder, National Field Director, Mr. Dennis Banks, from his cassette entitled Still Strong. Until the next Wolf Mountain Native Radio, this is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker, thanking you for listening to Global Community Radio, Radio for Peace International, and RadioForAll.net. Aho, Kinon Wantakwasin, to all of our relations.
And so I say to America, I want you to remember our past. This past will give you direction for the future. Just as our people in our past, we are the spirit of the future. The spirit of this land lies rooted in the history of Native people. The massacres that happened to us, the army that came, took our land and killed our people, did not destroy our vision for a strong future. We are still strong, America. We never weakened. Like the spirit of Chief Joseph, we are still strong. Like the spirit of Geronimo, we are still strong. Like the spirit of Crazy Horse, we are still strong. America, we are strong people. Like the spirit of Peltier, we are strong today. As we were thousands of years ago, the pages of history, we are strong. We were born strong. Our spirit is strong. We are still strong. We are still strong, America. Look about you and look at the Anishinaabe people. Look at the Lakota people and the Dene people, pushed around again in this century, pushed off our land, trying to take yet what remaining area of land that we have left. But we will not lay down, America. We have never laid down in the face of struggle. And we shall never abandon our past, nor shall we ever abandon the spirit of our people. Like the spirit of Chief Joseph, we are still strong. And the spirit of Geronimo, we are still strong. And the spirit of Crazy Horse, we are still strong. And all those who went before us, knowing that the seventh generation down the road would remember them, we are still strong, America. We are still strong, Anishinaabe people. And when we look at the Sac and Fox and the Winnebago, north to the Eskimos, south to the Cheyenne, and to the Arapaho, and to the Tulalip, to the Ojibwa people, we are strong. And I want every book about Native people to be truthful, to tell the truth of what our people did, to tell the truth of who we were, and that we never laid down. And I want the history books to remember us as being a strong people. We are strong. Mother Earth gives us that strength. Our grandmother, the moon, gives us that strength. Our oldest brother, the sun, gives us that strength. The foreigners, the deer, the buffalo, and the elk give us that strength. The winged thing, the eagle, the hawk, and the owl give us that strength. And as I look about this world in the four directions, I see the many colors of humankind. I see the many colors of people. And that's what makes us strong. That's what we believe in. That's our love. We are still strong. In the spirit of our people. In the spirit of our ancestors. Gone long ago. We are still strong. And just like an eagle flying high, a reminder to the four directions that we were born strong, we are strong, and when we leave this world to go to the spirit world, we will leave behind a culture and a tradition for the seventh generation. We will leave them the stories and songs of our people, of our struggle, of our ceremonies, and of our women. And when we leave them, we will know that they will be strong, still strong.